לתשומת ליבכם, התוכנית הבאה היא תוכנית מוקלטת, ועשויות להישמע במהלכה התראות והתייחסות לאירועים ביטחוניים שהראו בזמן שידורה הראשון. האזנה טובה.
You are listening to the English language news of Kan, the Israeli Public Broadcasting Corporation.
It's 8 p.m. in Israel on Thursday, the 4th of April. In the headlines, Israel braces for a possible Iranian attack to revenge the Damascus airstrike, cancelling army leave, calling up some reservists and disrupting GPS service in the center of the country. At the same time, citizens are told there is no need to stock up on food or withdraw cash. Hamas says there is no breakthrough in the ceasefire talks. Four Hamas operatives were arrested in Europe in December, planning to carry out attacks against Israeli or Jewish targets. An ISIS supporting terror cell is arrested in East Jerusalem. Likud rules out early elections and the weather turning seasonal over the weekend. Israel's military said on Thursday... Good evening, this is Mark Weiss with the news. Israel's military said on Thursday there have been no changes in guidelines for home front preparedness amid concerns of a possible escalation in violence after the killing of Iranian generals in Damascus this week drew threats of retaliation. There is no need to buy generators, gather food, and withdraw money from ATMs, Israeli military spokesperson Rear Admiral Daniel Hagar said. As we have done until today, we will immediately update on any change, should there be one, in an official and orderly manner. Some staff have been evacuated from embassies abroad, and diplomats have been told not to attend certain events abroad due to the security alert. Israel is bracing in response to Iran's stated intention to retaliate for the assassination of its senior officials in Damascus. Even though Israel did not claim responsibility for the attack, a decision was made to raise the level of alert in the Air Force and to call up air defense reservists. After a security assessment meeting, the IDF has decided to temporarily suspend all leave in combat units. This was announced by the IDF spokesperson's office. The announcement said that the issue of the troops' deployment was being constantly reviewed based on need. The security establishment is taking the threat of Iranian leaders very seriously. It was also decided to reinforce some units, and the IDF stressed that Israel's defences are not hermetic. GPS disruptions initiated by the IDF have hit central Israel. Residents reported that GPS put their location as Beirut. Israel is deliberately causing the disruptions that, until now, were mainly restricted to northern Israel. The purpose is to prevent precision-guided aerial threats from striking their intended targets. Residents of central Israel reported this morning GPS disruption on apps such as Waze and Google Maps. According to reports, the apps located them, as we said, as being in Beirut. The goal of the move is to disrupt attempts to launch precision ordnance, such as cruise missiles and UAVs, which are GPS-based. Residents of central Israel also reported that the Get and Walt apps had stopped working. Walt announced that the disruptions would cause delays in deliveries. Passengers of the Tel Aviv Light Rail said they could not pay with the MoveIt app since it was unable to read their location. There were also reports of cell phones with smart locks that were opening and closing by themselves. GPS has not worked in Haifa for months because of deliberate disruptions by Israel to prevent GPS-based cruise missiles from being able to strike Israeli targets with precision. The National Cyber Directorate warned yesterday of an increase in cyber attacks ahead of Iranian Jerusalem Day, which is to be observed tomorrow. Every year at this time, we see attacks, usually unsophisticated and the kind that are easier to have a broad impact, such as on websites, control of smart house systems, spreading messages with phishing announcements, hacking into social media, infiltrating companies' databases, and leaking information, the statement said. Prime Minister Netanyahu and US President Joe Biden talked on the phone this evening. The two leaders began speaking at around 7 p.m. and talked for some 45 minutes. There are no details as of yet. The Security Cabinet will convene tonight to discuss latest developments. The head of IDF Intelligence Directorate, Major General Aharon Khaliva, said today, "I told you not once and not twice that it's not certain that the worst is behind us and we face complex days ahead." An anti-tank missile launched from Lebanon hit a house in Shlomi in Israel's north today. An air raid siren sounded last night on Moshav Keshet on the Golan Heights. There were no reports of damage or casualties, but three rockets landed in uninhabited areas. An anti-tank rocket hit Matula last night. One private house was badly damaged. Dozens of houses on the same street, which face Lebanon, have been damaged already in the last 6 months. Five of them were totally destroyed. This morning, the fire that raged during the night was extinguished. Other homes in a different neighbourhood were also damaged as a result of IDF operations. Rockets were fired at the Gaza periphery communities in Sderot last night. No one was injured. Retired Major General Amos Yadlin, president and founder of Mind Israel, a non-profit focused on national security issues, is a former head of Israel's Defense Intelligence, former deputy commander of Israel's Air Force, and a senior fellow at the Kennedy School Belfour Center at Harvard University. In a Zoom conversation today hosted by Media Central, he said Israel is at a critical juncture and the situation in the coming weeks could escalate into a regional conflict or de-escalate, leading to regional arrangements.
I want to go to the strategic level and to speak about the fact that today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, we can go to two different direction of this war. It can be escalation to a regional war because of Iran, because of Hezbollah, and it will move from Gaza to the north, from a limited war in Gaza to a regional war, and it can then escalate towards a process that will fix, will de-escalate the war and will fix some of the problems. And we're really facing crucial days, maybe a week. Why I'm saying so? Iran is threatening to attack Israel. Everyone in their leadership vowed to revenge the Israeli alleged Israel never took responsibility, but the Iranians blamed Israel on the killing of Mahadavi. He is the chief general of the Quds force in Syria and Lebanon. 20 years in this business of building Hezbollah and other forces which serves Iran in Lebanon and Syria. He's a member of the Hezbollah Shura, and he and some of his deputy and some of his officers were targeted in Damascus, not in the Iranian embassy, not in the Iranian consulate, but in an area that belonged to Iran in Damascus. So this is not the first time that Israel is targeting Iranian officers. Israel took the gloves off on the 7th of October.
But just to stick
until
with
then,
of age work.
In the last decade, Israel attacked Iranian activities, supplying of weapons to Hezbollah, building air bases, moving missiles to Syria. But Israel was very careful not to target Iranians. since the 7th and the 8th of October, when Iran launched its proxies against Israel from Lebanon, from Syria, from Yemen, from Iraq, Israel changed the policy. And in this case, it seems like a big hit to Iran. So the Iranians are thinking about revenging or deterring Israel. And whenever you try to deter, you may reach the effect of escalation. What the Iranians can do? In the past, they attack Israeli embassies in the world, in Buenos Aires, in New Delhi, in Azerbaijan. If you're listening to the Iranian music, they are looking for a more impressive attack. And anyway, dealing with embassies over the globe need time to prepare the operation, and they are also will be violating sovereignty of a third country. So the chances that this will be the Iranian move is not so high. It may be asking Hezbollah to retaliate. Hezbollah is, in the last 6 months, very careful not to escalate to a full-scale war. Some of it may be because the Iranians don't want to go to a full-scale war. But if Iran will ask Hezbollah to move up a scale, I guess that it will be answered with why to destroy Lebanon. It was done, what happened in Damascus, on Iranian soil. Maybe you should take a step towards Israel. So the best, or let's say not the best, the most likely attack is from Iran towards Israel. It says the risk of escalation, but this is what Iran have done towards the Saudis in September 2019. This is what they have done this year after the Daesh, the ISIS, terror attack on the memorial of Qasem Soleimani. They launched missile to Kurdistan and to Pakistan. So if they can attack Pakistan with ballistic missiles, why not Israel? But not only ballistic missiles. In the Saudi case, they use cruise missiles and drones, the same drones that attacking Ukraine in the last year. So if they want to react in a short time, the best day is tomorrow. It's the Iranian Jerusalem day, the last Friday of Ramadan. I will not be surprised if Iran will act tomorrow. Don't panic. Don't run to the shelters. Israel has a very, very good air defense, missile defense, rocket defense. It was one of the systems that has worked excellent in the last 6 months. Israel is attacked on a daily basis from Lebanon, from Gaza, from Iraq, from Syria, from Yemen. And it's not hermetic, but it's 95%, 96%, 97%. And Israel is not Saudi. We have good intelligence. We have good early warning radars. We have excellent Arrow, David Sling, Iron Dome, F-35 that can stop the Iranian attack, but it may come. So be tuned for tomorrow, and then depends on the consequences of the attack, it may escalate. The other direction, if the North is not going to explode, is de-escalation. And this all has to do with the hostages deal. If the hostages deal will happen, and as we speak, there are negotiations. We are waiting for Hamas replying for new Israeli or Egypt and Qatar and the US offers, proposals. If there is an hostages deal, then we have at least 6 weeks of ceasefire in the south, then ceasefire in the north, then maybe 1701 remove Hezbollah from the border, a new 1701 that will be brokered by President Biden envoy Amos Hochstein, and then maybe even though the deadline is very close, normalization between Israel and the Saudis. So this is the optimistic view, de-escalation, and I describe the escalation part.
Retired Major General Amos Yadlin, president and founder of Mind Israel, a non-profit focused on national security issues. A senior Hamas leader said on Thursday... A senior Hamas leader said on Thursday that Egypt had put forward a ceasefire proposal, but it did not include anything new. He said the US and Egyptian mediators wanted to keep the ceasefire process alive, despite their conviction that there was a wide gap between Israel and Hamas. Hamas official Osama Hamdan said today there's been no progress in the ceasefire talks, despite his claim that Hamas showed flexibility. Hamdan said Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was placing obstacles, hindering both parties from reaching an agreement, and that he is not interested in releasing Israeli hostages. The negotiations are stuck in a vicious circle, Hamdan said at a press conference in Beirut. The families of the hostages and protest activists blocked Nehemiah Road in Tel Aviv and other roads throughout Israel this morning. The protesters issued a statement saying, "All eyes are on you. If the hostage deal fails, the state will burn." IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Herzi Alevi said that only military pressure would result in the hostages' release. Alevi said, "We are stepping up the pressure to intensify our achievements and also to bring about movement in the negotiation to reach an agreement to release the hostages. This is a supreme task. It is very important. It will only happen as a result of stronger pressure, and we will use stronger pressure as much as necessary." The Chief of Staff made the above remarks yesterday in a situation assessment meeting held in Khan Yunis. Now, Tikva 6, with the song Superheroes, dedicated to all those in the north and the south, on the front, regular and reserve units.
אז המורה לתנך בגבעתי, המורה ללשון מודיעין, השכן מלמעלה קבלן עבודות, אבל חודש כבר במילואים. עורכת הדין היא קמבצית, עושה משמרות באוגדה. אחי האיש הייטק בכיר, עכשיו הוא צלף על גגות ברצוע. מנהלת הסניף הקשוחה של הבנק, היא סמגד ביהודה ושומרון. דורון הוא בעל חנות צעצועים, עכשיו הוא ממפה בשריון. והמדי שלנו כפרה, שלרוב מזמר בקיסריה. הוא לוחם הנדסה, מתאושש בגבורה, אחרי שנפצע בלבזה. נכון, כולם נראים רגילים, אבל אנחנו עם של גיבורי על, וכל אחד תמיד מסתתר חייל, מוכן להציל את העולם. יש תנהג אוטובוס של דן, זה שתמיד עומד בזמן. הוא עכשיו מפקד סוללת תותחנים בדרום, ליד נרעם. יש סטודנט בטכניון, באמצע תואר ראשון. הוא סרן במיל בעוצבת הגליל, כבר חודש בגבול הצפון. יש פה דוגמנית פרמדיקית, יש פה חשמלאי שהוא מגיסט. יש את יוני נגן, סקסופון מכונן, שהוא קודם כל מטקליסט. יש לכולם ארון נסתר, או ארגז גדול מאופזר. יש פה סט של מדים וגלימת מילואים, מוכנות תמיד לאתגר. נכון, כולם נראים רגילים, אבל אנחנו עם של גיבורי על, בכל
בכל אחד תמיד מסתתר חייל מוכן להציל את העולם וזה לא משנה אם באמצע חיים או באמצע משחק כדורגל כולם יעזבו את הכל בשנייה אם יקרא להם הדגל פה זה לא יקום מקביל לא מציאות של מרוול זה הסיפור שלנו עם ישראל זה הסיפור שלנו נכון כולם נראים רגילים אבל אנחנו עם של גיבורי העל בכל אחד תמיד מסתתר חייל מוכן להציל את העולם.
תקווה שש, סופר-הירוס. Officials who are well informed of the details of the incident that killed seven World Central Kitchen humanitarian aid workers said that the vehicle in which they were riding had been attacked from the air because it had been mistakenly identified as carrying armed men, probably because of the security guards that accompanied the passengers. The IDF said that the inquiry into the incident would be completed in the next few weeks. Within a few weeks, and its findings would be presented to the public. US Secretary of Defense Austin spoke to Defense Minister Gallant and expressed his outrage and urged him to conduct a swift and transparent inquiry, to share the conclusions publicly, and to hold those responsible to account. Austin also demanded a significant increase in aid entering the Gaza Strip as early as the next few days, particularly to the northern Gaza Strip. Austin said that the incident increased American concerns about an Israeli ground operation in the southern city of Rafah. The US wants to see a swift Israeli investigation into the attack. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller laid out Washington's position.
The Israelis have said to us, and they've said publicly, that they intend to conduct this investigation swiftly. We want to see it wrapped up as soon as possible. And see them put in place any measures to prevent this from happening again in the future. And that's go to the second point that we think we need to see. Not just, they don't have to wait for the outcome of this investigation to do it. They need to put in place better deconfliction and better coordination measures to protect humanitarian workers and to protect all the civilians on the ground. And it is something that we have consistently said to them over the past few months is that they need to improve their deconfliction measures and they need to improve their coordination measures. I don't want to pass judgment on what this investigation will show, just as you don't want to pass judgment on what any investigation would show before it's concluded. It's important that they conduct a full, transparent, swift investigation. They need to find out exactly what happened. And we will I'll wait to pass judgment on until it's completed. It does, of course, raise real concerns about the safety of those aid workers who are doing that dangerous work. And I think it's important to remember that these were seven tragic deaths yesterday, but over 200 aid workers have lost their life since this conflict began. So that just reiterates and heightens the need for Israel to do better going forward. Number one, the chief of staff for the Israeli Defense Forces has come out and said it was a misidentification. So while they were targeting those cars, they did not believe that it was the World Central Kitchen that was operating those vehicles at the time. But that said, we need to wait and see the outcome of this investigation to know with any confidence what it was that happened, and we're going to wait to do that. But the second point is, it doesn't really matter how they made the mistake. At the end of the day, you have seven dead aid workers who are there trying to deliver humanitarian assistance. So whatever the reason was that led to this tragedy, whatever the mistake that happened inside the IDF, it's unacceptable. And they need to do better, and they need to put measures in place to ensure that it doesn't happen again. We have reached out to his family. We reached out to his family yesterday to offer our condolences and to offer any consular assistance that we can provide. That is always our standard practice in these cases. When we see an American citizen who has tragically lost their life overseas, we offer any type of assistance that we can to facilitate whatever they need in the wake of this tragedy. And we have not at this time concluded that Israel has violated international humanitarian law, but these are very much ongoing processes with respect to that question.
U.S. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller. Celebrity chef and founder of World Central Kitchen, Jose Andres, in a Reuters interview, rejected Israeli and U.S. assertion that the strike was not deliberate. He condemned the Gaza war, calling it a war against humanity itself.
I will tell to Prime Minister Netanyahu, 200 humanitarians have died already. Tens of thousands of civilians have died. I'm so sorry, but I think one humanitarian life is one too many. One children is one too many. Anything above that, I will not say is what happens in war. We should be looking for the humanity we all have within. I think you know what is really amazing. World Central Kitchen was there feeding people in Israel day one after the brutal attack. We did millions of meals, feeding hospitals, feeding kibbutz, feeding people that were displaced inside Israel. Why? Because World Central Kitchen stands for humanity. It's there next to the people, not the color of their skin or their religion. We are always next to people. That's who we are. Feeding people is a sign of strength, not a sign of weakness. And if anybody knows that, it will be Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Israeli people. To feed the strangers, especially in times of Passover. I think this is one of the lessons of Passover. You will feed the strangers because other strangers feed you before. And that is something that should be protected and in a way cherished and celebrated. So this is what I will tell President Netanyahu. How it is possible that seems this war is waged to save Israeli hostages, some of them of different nationalities, children that they are somewhere in Gaza, and that they have the right to be free and liberated. But how are you going to be giving an opportunity for them to be free and safe when they may be dying under the rubble of the same weapons Israel is using to wage this war? Weapons that at the times they've been provided by America itself. Humanitarian aid needs to be increased yesterday. He only has to pick up the phone and allow the humanitarian aid to start flowing. It's plenty of opportunities that we can feed everybody. Plenty of opportunities we can bring medication to everybody. Plenty of opportunities to make sure that we don't keep killing everything that moves inside Gaza. I repeat again, this is a war against humanity itself. And you can never win that war, because humanity eventually will always prevail. I spoke to President Biden yesterday. President Biden made a statement, which seems is already a harder stand, but it's very complicated to understand that we are going to be sending, America is going to be sending its Navy and its military to do humanitarian work, when at the same time, weapons provided by America, not to defend Israel itself from missile attacks, but use weapons that are killing civilians in this moment. I will say any person, or logic, pragmatic, Israelis or Palestinians, will say that what is good for me must be good for others. And at this moment, doesn't seem that way. I think the best and only way forward to have hope of a peace deal that can at least allow the parties to start talking, I will not say will we just keep bombing every single person that moves inside Gaza, killing every single children. And if you're not killing them by bombs, you're starving them by lack of food. I will never imagine that Hunger Games will be a movie. And it seems that what is happening inside Gaza is like a true Hunger Games. This has to end. And this can end only with one phone call, one person alone. The ceasefire that can allow the opportunity to no more hostages die. This is fire that will give the opportunity to children to feel once and for all to sleep one night feeling they are safe. to allow trucks to arrive to every corner of Gaza so people are not dying for lack of food or lack of very basic medicines. The famine is real. The famine is real. War is complicated. The situation in Gaza is complicated. Are people selling food for $20, $30 a pound? People have no money. But war, we know, sometimes brings the greediness in the best of us sometimes. But there still is not enough food. And the people that have some food, maybe they are trying to do business on it. Humanity is a complicated, it's a complicated animal species. But the truth is that there is people that could be getting food. We have 68 kitchens. We've done 350,000 meals a day for the last many weeks. We've reached 42 million meals. We put more than 1,500 trucks inside Gaza. We have right now another 300 trucks between Cairo and Rafah. We have a warehouse operation in Jordan when we are allowed to access from Jordan. We have the airdrops we've been doing to try to reach the north. That obviously has caused problems and unfortunately death. But people are dying too when convoys go by road. Sometimes people die under the tires of those convoys for different reasons, or they've been shot in the process of use trying to get a little bag of flour. Life should not be so complicated. Life should not be such a terrible situation. We are seeing one of the worst moments of humanity.
Celebrity chef and founder of World Central Kitchen, José Andrés. The Polish Deputy Foreign Minister, Andrzej Sezina, said in a radio interview that he was not convinced that the killing of the humanitarian aid workers was an accident and not deliberate. He said this was similar to an unintentional hit and run in which the driver was responsible criminally and morally. One of the seven volunteers who was killed was a Polish national. Poland is demanding compensation for his family. The Israeli ambassador to Poland will be summoned tomorrow for a diplomatic rebuke. Minister of Economy and Industry Nir Barkat was asked in a BBC interview if the killing of the seven World Central Kitchen staff was intentional.
José Andrés, who is the founder of the World Central Kitchen charity where these seven aid workers were working, he says that they were targeted, that these missiles came systematically, car by car. He says the workers tried to call the IDF in between the strikes. He said this was not a bad luck situation, that they were targeted. Are you saying they were not targeted? Is that what you're saying?
With all due respect, there's no way in the world that Israel would target people that come to give people aid. That's nonsense. I'm sorry. Give us a bit of respect, that we care about those people. And it's the same people that helped Israel. We will never target people like this. I'm sure that there was a mistake done on the way. It'll be the Israeli army will interrogate this and give the families of the people that unfortunately were killed all the details. And we want to make sure it doesn't happen again. It's not intentional, with all due respect. I'll tell you what is intentional. Hamas, on October 7th, they entered the villages in Israel. They raped, group raped women, killed them while they're raping them. Took them, now we have 134, I don't understand why you're not asking, about 134 hostages that were taken from their homes, women, children. We know from testimonies that they're raped there.
Minister,
That's intentional.
Minister of Economy and Industry, Nir Barkat. Dr. Michal Chatuel Radoshitsky, Senior Advisor and Programme Director at Mind Israel, held various positions in the academic and civil society worlds, including the Azrieli Foundation, the Institute for National Security Studies, the Institute for Inclusive Security, and the Geneva Initiative. She is a founding member of Forum Dvora, Women in Foreign Policy and National Security. In a Zoom conversation today hosted by Media Central, she discussed some aspects of the killing of the seven World Food Kitchen staff.
It was a tragic accident. I think it's been communicated by Israel, by the Israeli Defense Forces, in every way possible, that this was a mistake, that it's being researched and investigated. I do want to say that there are mistakes in war zones, and I think the most poignant demonstration of that is that our forces shot our own hostages. So there are errors, and it was a tactical error, it was an awful error, and it's being investigated. And I think that, again, I started with the very saying that wars are awful, and this is the exact demonstration of that. Having said all that, I'll also say that I looked up a bit about stats regarding aid workers and these kind of occurrences. What I found is a report by aid workers secure. It's an aid worker security report. It was published in 2022, so obviously I don't know why there's no figures here about the 2023 report. I wasn't able to find that. But this report says that it was published in 2022, about 2021, 468 workers were victims of major attacks, 140 were killed, 203 wounded, and 117 kidnapped. These are aid workers, not in the Gaza Strip or anywhere close, but of course in Sudan and other tragic conflicts that we have. So this is not an improbable scenario that happened. And again, I'll end with concluding that it's a tragic event, and I don't think that anyone has tried to excuse this event.
Dr. Michal Chatuel Radoshitsky, Senior Advisor and Program Director at Mind Israel. These are the stories making headlines at this hour. Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Biden speak in what is described as a very difficult conversation. Israel braces for a possible Iranian revenge attack after the Damascus airstrike, cancelling army leave, calling up some reservists, and disrupting GPS service in the centre of the country. Some staff at Israeli embassies abroad have been evacuated. At the same time, citizens are told there is no need to stock up on food or withdraw cash. Hamas says there is no breakthrough in the ceasefire talks. Four Hamas operatives were arrested in Europe in December. An ISIS-supporting terror cell is arrested in East Jerusalem. Likud rules out early elections, and the weather turning seasonal over the weekend. Police in Germany and the Netherlands arrested four Hamas operatives on suspicion of collecting weapons in Bulgaria and planning to use them for an attack against Jewish targets in Europe. The arrests took place in December. Bulgarian police uncovered a cache of weapons as part of an investigation involving the Mossad and the Israel security agency Shin Bet. Police found images of guns, ammunition and cartridges on a mobile phone belonging to one of the arrested suspects, which led investigators to the weapons buried under a tree in southern Bulgaria. Prosecutors in Germany said the four men collected weapons to prepare for potential terrorist attacks against Jewish institutions in Europe. Three of the suspects were arrested in Germany, while the fourth was arrested in the Netherlands. It can now be reported that the police and the Israel security agency Shin Bet foiled terror attacks being planned by ISIS-supporting terrorists in East Jerusalem. Two of them planned to place explosive devices and to carry out shooting attacks in the capital. The members of the cell in their 20s were arrested and were indicted today. They had planned to attack a police station in East Jerusalem and to place a bomb in Teddy Stadium. Politics now. The Likud has ruled out the idea of holding early elections, and people close to Netanyahu said that elections would only be held as planned in October 2026. The ultra-Orthodox parties, in contrast, are considering reaching a deal in which a military draft bill is passed in exchange for their consent to hold early elections. Opposition chair Yair Lapid said that Israel could not wait another half a year for the most dangerous and failed government in Israel's history to be removed from office. The comments came in response to Minister Benny Gantz's call last night to set an agreed-on date for elections in September. Gantz said, in order for us to maintain unity and to succeed in the tasks that we face, the public needs to know that we will soon return and ask for its confidence, and that we will not ignore the October the 7th disaster and what preceded it. Therefore, we must agree on a date for elections during September, almost 1 year since the start of the war. Gantz also said that Israel must not miss the opportunity to reach a hostage deal. He said, my colleagues and I will not be in the government that does not take real steps to return hostages. In wake of Gantz's call for elections in September, Minister Chili Tropper of the National Unity Party said this was the right thing to do. What Israel needs at this moment is to agree on a date. If not, the streets will burn and this people will be torn during a war. For a long time, we have known that this is the right thing to do. We said that from the first moment, and it was clear that after such an event, we had to go back to the people and ask for its confidence. When something so awful happens, you have to again ask the people to place its confidence in you. Knesset member Matan Kahane of the National Unity Party said that it was becoming harder and harder to remain in the Netanyahu government, but that as long as its ministers had influence, they would remain. In an interview with Khan Radio, Kahane said that without the National Unity Party, the chances of a hostage deal would be dramatically decreased. At the same time, he said a decision must be made to call early elections. Now, Matisyahu with his new single, Ascent.
My fam under attack. We used to getting shot in the back, and now the whack, they wanna understand. Stiff neck, son of the right hand, a fam of slaves from the sand. Just a dreamer in a foreign land. Yeah, you know we smart and mad funny. To come against the first sons, you must be a dummy. The curse the blessed one, son, you're going wrong. And it won't take long, for I'm dancing on your headstone. You're still captive to the poison all around you. Infected brain, no one to blame but the Jew. Jew, are you insane? This is not new. They've been saying this for years. Cry babies with their fears. We control the industry and everything around you. It's not a conspiracy, I'm sorry, but it's true. The only thing that brings us together is you. When the crazy motherfucker got his finger on the trigger, and also Twitter, we've lost the whole litter. So why are you bitter? Just a few escaping, yes, we rose quicker. And our blood runs thicker. Our stars shine brighter than a swastika. And our candle still flickers. And that's the one that's all around you. You found your vision in a candle. Sunsetting in the early afternoon. I sweep the demon out my room. I got a throne for that. I got the foam in the back. I got room to take naps and come back. But all this chat, it got me running like I'm Judah Mack.
But I've been up and down this ladder while you staring at the same face. Like Jake, I climbed the staircase. And why these idols get replaced with the angels who rep the face of a nation that could never be erased?
We re-up, resurface, and we relocate. When our fate comes into evil men who tick. Some were burned in the oven, others on the stick. Tell me, could you relate when the powerful feel fake? Jealousy's an evil snake, but it's an ancient mistake.
התראה נתיבות התראה נתיבות
Rockets alerts have just sounded in a number of places, including Netivot and the south, and Beit Hagadi and Zemeret and Kfar Maimon.
I got a room for that. I got the room in the back. I got room to take
Tisiao with his new single, Ascent. Just to repeat the rocket alert from 2 minutes ago in the area of Netivot and the Gaza periphery. Leading Israeli historian Yuval Noah Harari, in a recent conversation with American political scientist and author Ian Bremner, discussed Prime Minister Netanyahu and the events that led to October the 7th and the ideological battles in contemporary Israel.
He was trying to systematically destroy the institutions of Israeli democracy. And we had the same conspiracy theories about the deep state, also in Israel. And actually, this is one of the key explanations for what happened on October 7th. That, you know, you had for months the army, the secret service, the Shin Bet, warning Netanyahu, both privately and also publicly, Israel is in a terrible danger, that you need to shift your attention from trying to destroy Israeli democracy to focus on the external threat of Hamas, of Hezbollah, of Iran. We are in an extremely dangerous situation. And he just didn't listen. And the reason he didn't listen and the people around him didn't listen, they had a theory in their minds, also publicly they stated it, that all these military experts, the chief of the IDF, the chief of the Shin Bet, they are part of the deep state conspiracy against them. They don't really have information. They don't really believe that Israel is in danger. Israel is in no danger at all. They are just making these warnings in order to force me to stop the judicial overhaul, the attempt to, again, destroy the institutions of Israeli democracy. And this is how we got to October the 7th. On a deeper level, I would say that what is happening in Israel has been happening for not just in the recent year, but for years now, is a struggle for the soul of the country, and more than that, for the soul of Judaism, between Zionism, the national movement of the Jewish people, and a new messianic mutation of Judaism that believes in Jewish supremacy. You know, we talked about the difference between good nationalism and bad nationalism. At its best, nationalism recognizes the uniqueness of our nation and talks about our right to develop our traditions and so forth. At its worst, it falls victim to this supremacy complex that we are not just unique, we are superior to everybody. And we now have this movement of Jewish supremacy in Israel. It's part of the coalition. It's part of the government. They have a messianic vision for the country. If you ask them, what do you see in the future, 5 years, 10 years down the road? They also talk in terms of from the river to the sea, of a single big Israel with Jews supreme, basically a three-class or three-caste system, with Jews supreme with full rights, some Arabs with some rights as second-class citizens, and lots of other Arabs with no rights at all. This is their vision for the country.
You're talking about some of the far right that's in the coalition with Netanyahu.
They are in the coalition with Netanyahu. If this is the big fight, we are trying to stop them. If we fail, if they succeed in realizing this messianic vision, this will change the very meaning of Judaism all over the world. So people here, we also have to deal with the consequences.
Leading historian from Israel, Yuval Noah Harari. Irish low-cost airline Ryanair plans to resume flights to and from Israel from June. Ryanair, which has the largest fleet of aircraft in Europe and is one of the most popular airlines with Israeli tourists, had resumed flights to Israel, but within a month announced it was halting all flights to Ben Gurion Airport until October 2024. Ben Gurion Airport's Terminal 1, with cheaper fees for low-cost airlines, is expected to reopen in June. And this is the explanation between Ryanair's U-turn. Three former Supreme Court justices in England have joined more than 600 members of the British legal profession in calling for the government to halt arms sales to Israel, saying it could make Britain complicit in genocide in Gaza. Their call was also backed by two of the country's leading intelligence experts, who argued that Britain needed to use any leverage it could to persuade Israel and its biggest backer, the US, to change course in the conflict. The British government has been a staunch ally of Israel since October the 7th, but Foreign Secretary David Cameron has hardened his language in recent months over the humanitarian situation in Gaza. The Foreign Office in London said on Thursday it kept advice on Israel's adherence to law under review, but that the content of the government advice was confidential. Prime Minister Sunak has resisted calls to immediately halt weapon sales to Israel, saying the government adheres to a very careful licensing regime. A record-breaking 42 Israelis were featured in Forbes World Billionaires list for 2024, published this week. Their total wealth amounts to $205 billion, a 7.8% increase from the combined Israeli wealth on last year's list. And now Ehud Banai with his new single, Matchil Lehitorer, Something's Stirring.
התורה בפתח בית הכנסת הגדול ברחוב שדל 5 מרות שנשמעים צלילים של סמבה בהופעה חיה מתערבבים במחשבות על אורן סוף ההוויה כאן שמעתי לפני 42 שנה את הרב מספר על העובר ברחם אמו רואה מקצה העולם ועד קצה הוא עטוף באולטרסאונד של רחמים משהו אדום מתחיל זינגלה ממועדון בודג הטרון לבית מדרש בתל ברוך האחראי על המקום אמר שהוא מחפש גנן אמרתי לו שאני לגמרי בעניין בזמן שהם ישבו בפנים עם הגמרא אני בחוץ ניקשתי עשבים זמן שהם נגנו על הבמה שמעתי קול קורא בין הצלילים
1980
משהו אדום מתחיל של אהבה שלג יש משל על מלך שמזמין את כל העם לארמון הוא מעמיד על הדרך מכשולים קשים צריך התעקשות גדולה רק מעטים זוכים 42 שנה מנקש ומתעקש עדיין בחצר לא בטרקלין הפנימי בפתח בית הכנסת הגדול מחוץ לשער בהמתנה לדבר האמיתי משהו
מתחיל להתעורר. The weather outlook, slightly cooler tomorrow, but still hot for the time of year on the hills and inland. Saturday, cooler, turning seasonal. Sunday, slightly cooler, with drizzle possible in the north and along the coast in the morning. Temperatures for tonight and tomorrow, Jerusalem 16 to 25, Tel Aviv 14 to 22, Haifa 18 to 20, Tzfat 18 to 20, Tiberias 16 to 30, Beersheva 16 to 30, and in Eilat from 20 tonight, rising to 35 degrees Celsius tomorrow. Another look at the main headlines at this hour. Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Biden speak in what was described as a very difficult conversation. Israel braces for a possible Iranian attack to revenge the Damascus airstrike, cancelling army leave, calling up some reservists, and disrupting GPS service in the centre of the country. Some staff at Israeli embassies abroad have been evacuated. At the same time, citizens are told there is no need to stock up on food or withdraw cash. Hamas says there is no breakthrough in the ceasefire talks. Four Hamas operatives were arrested in Europe in December, planning to carry out attacks against Jewish targets. An ISIS-supporting terror cell is arrested in East Jerusalem. Likud has ruled out early elections, and the weather, turning seasonal, over the weekend. That's the news. Join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on Kan Reka, the foreign languages channel of the Israel Public Broadcasting Corporation. This is Mark Weiss wishing you good evening and shalom from Jerusalem.